Kelvin Davis is the MP for Te Tai Tukere, has ministerial responsibilities and is kindly a regular guest with us on Monday mornings. Thanks for your time this morning, Kelvin. Tēnā koe.
Mōrena del, tēnā koe.
Last week, Ngā Whā was in the news, but this was geothermal activity. I was very much hoping that there was some Māori angles to the investment there. If not this time, might there be in the future? Because our people can make some big bucks investing in power generation. Bring us up to speed with the opening of that geothermal field and facility mid last week, please, Kelvin.
Yeah, sure. Look, the Ngā Whā, as we know, Ngā Whā geothermal area, there's the opportunity in to grow Northland's ability to generate electricity. They've already had a power station there for a while, and so they've expanded it. Now, basically, all of Northland's power comes out of the Ngā Whā geothermal, this new power station that we opened. Any excess power gets sold onto the national grid. It opened, well, it started generating actually on New Year's Eve of this year, but it's, you know, finally, I think it was producing about 80% of its power then. It's now right up to 100%. It means cheaper power for Northland. I was talking to the CE. He said that there'd been a 15% reduction in the lines charges over the course of this year. So, you know, it just bodes well. It means that we don't have to import power from the bottom of the South Island and all the costs associated with that. Instead, Tai Tukere was generating its own electricity. The Top Energy is the company. It's owned by Northlanders. So, it's good all around. That on top of the redevelopments to the Ngā Whā Hot Springs. I had a look around there when I was over at the opening of the power station. I went down to the hot springs. So it was about 9:30 on early on Thursday morning. There were 17 cars lined up outside the hot springs, and I'm told that that's doing a roaring trade now. So, you know, things are looking up for that part of the north. There's also the industrial estate that's being developed across the road from the Ngā Whā turnoff. That's going to create hundreds of jobs. So, you know, there's a lot happening, and it's good news for Kaikohe.
Great news for Kaikohe. Are these Māori investments, as well as you said, the Top Energy is owned by Northlanders. Can we assume Northland's half Māori population that our people are involved in the investment side of energy production too?
Look, one of the things that really impressed me was the engagement that Top Energy has had with Tangata Whenua there, Ngāti Rangi in particular, which of course, and we know that Ngāpuhi is, you know, that's the heart of Ngāpuhi. So their engagement with local Māori has been really good. In terms of the investments from those entities, well, I guess that's sort of commercially sensitive, so I'm not really sure what the level of investment from local tribes has been, but certainly if the engagement with Ngāti Rangi is anything to go by, there's plenty of opportunities that they're looking for.
Any updates regarding the vaccination scene up home or COVID responses from Tai Tukere?
Yeah, look, I was when I was in Kaikohe last week, I bumped into Te Rōpū Pōa, who's part of Hauora Ngāpuhi up there, and she said that they just got the next lot of vaccinations. They're doing their, you know, they're distributing the vaccines, and she said it's going great guns. They've got, you know, their own sort of rollout strategy that's developed by them, so. So, again, that's good news. She's just encouraging everybody to get vaccinated. And, you know, I totally endorse those sentiments. It's what we need to do. We know that, I can speak for my own hapu out at Ngāti Manu during the 1919 influenza epidemic. Many of our people succumbed to that, and there's a whole lot of unmarked graves in our urupā there. We don't know the names any longer of those people who passed away in that epidemic. We don't want that sort of thing happening with COVID. So we just encourage everybody to get vaccinated. It's the right thing to do to protect our whakapapa.
Righto, mate. What's going on down the big house this week?
Well, it is a parliamentary recess. So the next 3 weeks, we're out and about in our electorates. I guess you could say it's our midterm break. So I'm down here today for cabinet and then back up north for the next 3 weeks. So it'll be good to be able to just get around unencumbered and not having to worry about coming down to Wellington all the time. So, there's a series of meetings all around Taitokerau over the next 3 weeks. I'm really looking forward to it. It's the part that's most hardest to cope with is trying to pay attention to the electorate while you're running around doing all the ministerial things. But, the ministerial things are really important, and it's as a minister that you get to make a difference, get to make a change, get to implement things. We've got the official launch of the Māori Pathways at Ngāwhā Prison. It's next Friday. Reading in the briefing over the weekend, the work that's been done to engage with the community, to support whānau, it's really something. Our Hokkairangi strategy is coming up 2 years old, and it really is making a difference. And I was talking to, I spoke at a conference yesterday here in Wellington to Māori teachers, PPTA. There's about, 150 people in the room. And just talking about the things that I've been doing in my portfolios, and when I said the predictions were that at this point of time, the prison population was meant to be 13,000, and it's only 8,200, almost 5,000 fewer than what is predicted to be, they applauded. They just went, "We never knew." And so, it's only as a minister you can get to make these changes. And so there is a bit of a balancing act between being the MP for Te Taitokerau and being the minister trying to do all these things to help our people.
Sounds interesting that hui yesterday, what was the driver there? And as a former educator yourself, you would have taken an interest in what seems to be the main issues they are grappling with at the moment, Kelvin.
Yeah, so PPTA organised it, but there were a number of just Māori teachers from across the country. And there was one of the issues that came up is what's going to be the future role of the resource teachers of Māori who basically support immersion education. What are we going to do to improve the lot for those our young people who aren't succeeding in school and tend to drop out? So they wanted to know about what alternatives we have to assist those young people. But they were really just interested in the teaching of histories in schools. All the sort of the program that we've been laying out as a government to support education. I don't think they realise that over the last 2 years, over $500 million has gone to Māori education, targeted funding for Māori education. The work we're trying to do to grow our Māori medium education. I mean, only 5% of our young people, our Māori kids, are in Māori medium education, and we want to grow that up to 30% by 2040. So that has implications in terms of the numbers of kaiako. We need about another 3,000 fluent Māori teachers by 2040. It'll have implications with property. We'll have to expand the number of kohanga reo and kura kaupapa, and it also has implications for resourcing and the resources that teachers use to teach our taitamariki. So I think they were just really interested in hearing it from the horse's mouth, just the work that the government's been doing to support them and the good mahi they're doing.